just plain good. That's all.
You know, I sit up here and I can't get the smile off my face. I love each one of you so much. I just go, it's a good thing I don't have to be dignified. This Judy over here, I've known her so many years. Years ago when we had class on Monday night in Escondido. Judy. Yeah. And of course, David back there, I knew him when he was still in diapers. Of course, he wore them for a long time. But. No, I just thank God for letting me come in here and have this wonderful feeling that I have when I'm here. I like it. And one of the things that I like about this thought pattern that we're on in this group right here, I think it is so grand that, you know, you don't have to just be whatever, or let's say, holier than two. Well, you don't have to look like you're just so holy, you know, because God knows our hearts. And if I'm bouncing with love up here for my Oregon returner, then God knows that, and he's happy. And then God is love, right? So now, another thing that makes me really happy is when someone has what I call God stories, things that happen that you know could not have been possible without God, without superior eyeballs looking in to help you on those decisions. Does that make sense? A lot of the decisions that you made in your life, yeah, boy, well, I'm glad I did that, might have been because love, someone free of the body, was looking in on you. God was looking in on you. Oh, Mary, he came in and sat here and he's looking for you, honey. Then he went out looking for you. But the young lady that's going to share her thoughts with you, I'm in hopes I can get more of the class members to do this, is although she had been in the class several years, and the class is not for psychic development, the class is for getting deeper knowing that God's alive and well, and that there is no death, and you're either going to be living in the flesh or living free. And whoever you loved when you were here wasn't because of their elbows, you know, wasn't it or the nose on their face, because the energy within them, and when the energy within them leaves the body, they still love you, and you still love them. And she's over there in the back, honey, all the way in the back now. And so I call it God stories when somebody recognizes that God has helped them. I call those God stories. And I love it when somebody from class will come out and tell the God stories that they get in class. And tonight, and these are hard to do because they are so deep that they're hard to tell. But Annette is going to do her very best to help us have a share of her God story experience that she had in class. That's ours, isn't it?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Well, first, I want to say thank you to Millie for letting me share my story. And I know I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to be a Patty Walsh up here, but it's all okay. And most of you know that you know, but something really incredible happened on Thursday night, July 2nd. And July 2nd, remember that day, because that's really going to be important in this story. Okay, so Millie, as she always does, she calls up everyone in the class. Reese was in our circle, Barbara was in our circle, and Kim Hendricks and myself were in the inner circle. And it was amazing. She first asked, as she does with these unusual gifts that she gets from the angels, asks for things that happen. And she said, anyone that lost someone with a head injury or a trauma to their head. And so we were the ones that were in the inner circle. So as the inner circle was proceeding, Barbara, Reese, and Kim were getting messages from their loved ones, and it was obvious to them. To me, I was standing there, and I thought, well, I knew who I wanted to come. I had prayed for this person to come for over 11 years, but I didn't think she was going to come that night, and even though it was so close to the anniversary of her death. So I was praying, and so everyone was getting messages. Then all of a sudden, Craig, who is in our Thursday class, a lot of you know him, who has never had the gift of sight, said, I see this petite blonde woman standing right here. She was overshadowing Kim. And that was just amazing to me because that petite blonde woman was my friend Joanne. And Mimi, I'm so glad that you walked in because you know Joanne. This is a story about our Joanne. Mimi knows her very well too. So it's neat that she's here tonight. So as the circle progressed, there were a lot of things that were said. A letter L kept coming out. And the letter L stood for Lakeside because that's where Joanne lived. And many similarities between Kim and the area that she walked in was all the area that Joanne lived in. So it was just incredible to me. And I was so overwhelmed because I had prayed for Joanne to come so many times to Circle. And especially this time of the year because it was the anniversary of her death. She had a brain aneurysm on July 11th, and she actually wound up passing on July 4th. So July 2nd, it was so significant that she came through in that circle. So as all circles go, the night progressed on. We all had amazing circles, as we do, and I was just beside myself all night. I was so thankful that she finally came because I was really concerned all these years. I had prayed for her to come. And I knew that towards the end of her life, we weren't as close. So I thought, well, you know, maybe she's mad at me. Maybe something, whatever. She's just not coming. And it was really bothering me that she never came through. But it was so amazing that she came through this night. So I sat there, and all during the night, as Millie does when someone has a great thing that happens to her, she says, how you doing? How you doing, sweetheart? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed with this love and so grateful that she came for this visit. So the night goes on and we close our class and I'm thinking of Joanne and all the wonderful things that we did. Joanne is this adorable little petite English woman. She was probably about 105 pounds at the most. We were really good friends for many years. We did a lot of fun things, did traveling together. We worked together. We went on work trips. She came to the charcoal house. She used to sing and dance, and we just had a great time. She was a very fun-loving, great-spirited person, and she was really spiritual. We had that in common, too. We were about a year and a couple of days apart, so a lot of things were happening with us at the same time. We were like, wow, this is so cool. So the class ends as it has to. I know sometimes we don't want it to end, but it ended. And then we all went our separate ways. So when I can't go to sleep after I leave class, I go somewhere. Where do you all go when you can't, you don't want to go home? Does anyone have a favorite place that they go to late at night? No one?
Denny's?
Okay. Well, mine is the casino. So there you have it. My secret is out. So there are no more secrets now. Okay. So when I can't sleep sometimes, since I live out in Lakeside, I just cruise out to the casino. So that night I cruised out to the casino and I was playing and I was thinking about Joanne and all the fun things that we had and how thankful that I was that she came through the night before her anniversary. And then, of course, before I know it, it's 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I'm like, well, it's the anniversary of her brain aneurysm today. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, I need to leave. I have to go to work, so I better get out of here. I start leaving the casino, and one more ticket in my hand. I said, I want to go to one more machine. So I look at this machine. I'm like, I'm going to go to this machine. If anyone's familiar with VA House, they have all new games there. So I wanted to play this new game. So I went over to the new game, and as I was approaching it, this young girl was approaching the same machine. And so we kind of looked at each other, and I smiled. I was like, go ahead. And then she just looked at me. She sat there. She put her money in. And then like 3 seconds later, she turns around, and she looks at me. She says, Annette? And I look at her, and I'm like, who is this girl? I looked at her, and this was Joanne's daughter, Carrie. Okay? Now, is that not a God story? And then it gets even better than that. Okay, so, and this is on July 3rd that I'm in the casino because the night has passed and it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, and I'm seeing her daughter there at the casino. So we're chit-chatting, I'm crying, I'm laughing, and I'm explaining to her what happened at class because she was very spiritual too and she knew her mother's beliefs. So I was able to freely discuss that her mom came through. And one of the things that Millie had said in class during that circle was that Joanne felt that people had forgotten her. And unfortunately, towards the end of her life, a lot of people did disassociate from her. Her daughter told me that for years, she couldn't handle the grief of her mother. So she blocked it out of her mind. But she said, I feel her now. She said, I felt her now. And I know that she's here. So we confirmed that she was there. We laughed, we cried, we prayed. And it was just so amazing to me. I could not believe it. So I was thinking, how hard did those angels work that night to finally, after 11 years, to get Joanne into this circle, to have Millie call me up there, and then to give Craig, who has never seen that gift of sight right at that moment, so that I knew without a doubt who was there for me. So that's amazing. And how hard was it for them to get me to the casino? Well, that one, we'll just ignore that one. But besides that, the fact that Carrie was there, her daughter was there, I mean, like I said, 10 years, I've been in and out of that casino. I have never seen her. She was there at that exact time, at that machine, and feeling the presence of her mother. So I was able to share that amazing story with her. Then, as we talk, and it gets even better, you think that there's enough? There's never enough, because these God stories go in a full circle. So she's telling me that her dad is now moving to the state of Washington. He's going up there to live with his children. He has 9 grandchildren, and they're really happy. She decided that she's not going to move away with him. So she said, I have 2 boxes. They're from my mom. Can I please leave them at your house? Okay. And then the final kicker to that story is she said, I never did spread my mom's ashes. She went to England to see Joanne's family, and she was going to spread the ashes. She decided not to. And she said, can I bring them to your house? Of course I said yes. So that whole story came so full circle, so amazingly to me. Someone that I had prayed for years, and just wanted the acknowledgement to know that she was okay and that I missed her and I loved her and I just had such a wonderful life when she was here on earth. I just know that she's okay. And her daughter now knows she's okay. And eventually her ashes will be at my house. And then I'll be able to celebrate her that way. So it was just so amazing. I couldn't even stand it. I couldn't wait until morning. By then, by the time I got home, it was like 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, what time does Susan get up? I have to tell her. And I think, okay, she sleeps in. So I called Susan and I told her the rest of my story. And she said, well, you have to let Millie know. I said, I know. I want to let Millie know. She said, you should send it in an email. So I thought, okay. Yeah, maybe I'll call her. Maybe I'll send her an email. I started the email a couple times. It just didn't feel right. I was like, this is too good to put in an email or tell on a telephone. I said, I have to see Millie. So as it happens, that Sunday night, Millie leaves a message on my machine and asks me to come meet her Sunday night. So I meet Millie and the entourage because we never get Millie alone, hardly ever. Those rare occasions, sometimes we do get Millie. I showed up there, And I said, Millie, I am so thankful that you're still here. I have this amazing story. And I told her my story. And that's why I'm here tonight. So that is my story. Oh, thank you. And Susan just reminded me. And Joanne and I, because we were so close, we thought a lot alike about a lot of things. So one year I gave her a book on scrapbooking because her daughter had just graduated high school and we took all these great pictures, so we were going to do them in a scrapbook. So I gave her this scrapbook that comes with all the pretty papers and embellishments. That same year she gave me a book on how to create scrapbooking books. It's like, okay, all right. And then she also gave me this book, which is Meditations for Women That Do Too Much, because she felt that we all do too much. When I found this book, I went to find it. I had it in my bookcase, and the ribbon was in there. And it's at the date of July 16th and 17th. And there's two quick messages that I'd like to read. The first one, July 16th, is about balance. And it says that even though her father believed that our lives are determined in the first 5 years, it seems that we have moved beyond that. Although we are affected by our past, our training, each of us has within us the possibility of moving beyond them. Unfortunately, when we try not to be like our parents, we get caught up in the same trap as when we feel like we have to be like them. Either way, we are determined by our past, controlled by our reaction of our past. Some of us spent our entire lives vacillating between these two positions. We do have another choice. The choice is to acknowledge our past and be ourselves. I thought that that was very cool. And it said the third option is to be me. This is where the creativity lies. And then it also says, creative minds have always been known to survive any kind of bad training. I love that, especially since I'm a training manager. That was a really, really cool thing. And then the second one on July 17th is control, and I really liked what this said. This said, with the only certainty in our daily existence being change, at the rate of change growing always faster in this kind of technological leapfrog game, speed helps people think they are keeping up. And then our illusions of control dies very slowly. The more changing and uncertain our lives are, the more we fall back on our favorite illusions. If we can get in charge and control everything, does that sound familiar? We have forgotten that there is a difference between control and facilitating good work. And then it says, turning a situation over to a higher power is not easy under stress, although that is probably when it is most needed to do so. And so I'll leave it like that. I have a bunch of other God stories, but I don't want to go over my time limit. So that was the most.
One more?
Okay, I have one more. Let me see. I have one more. God's stories are, they're so amazing that I'm so excited that I could share these, okay? It's just, like, incredible. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought coming to class, having that amazing experience, and then it following up with meeting her daughter and hearing this about her daughter, that her daughter was stressing because she didn't know where to put her mom's belongings. Her dad was refusing to take him to Washington. So that was just like helping her, and it was so healing for me after all these years. So it's just crazy amazing. Okay, so now this one was back in 2008. This is about 7 years ago. Things were happening to me. It was all surrounding San Francisco. And I didn't really pay it any mind. My work was taking me to San Francisco all the time, and I was missing Thursday night classes. I didn't like that. I was gone a lot. And then AAA, I have a membership with AAA, and they kept associating my membership number with the San Francisco address. I'm like, I'm not a San Francisco resident. I'm San Diego. Every time I had an incident with AAA, I called. They said, oh, you're in San Francisco? I'm like, no, I'm in San Diego. So I was like, I don't know what the heck is wrong with these people. So they gave me another card, and once again, that happened again. So I was like, okay, well, there's just some kind of technical problem here. I didn't know what it was. So then in 2008, I decided to become one of Andrea Dare's practicing students in her blueprint coaching. Are any of you familiar with that program? Okay, well, Andrea Dare from the church, she started one of these programs. A lot of people were involved at that time, and she needed some practicing students. So I was one of the practicing students. I said, sure. So she gave me the papers, and I had to fill out all these papers to go through different events in my life, what had happened in my life, so that they can put together this whole program. And I looked at it a couple of times, and I couldn't fill in the blanks when I was from like 13 to 20. It was too difficult because of my life, what had happened to me. And so I kept going back to those papers. I'm like, no, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to do this. So I went to church one Sunday, and I went to see Millie after church. And this was like, I don't know, this should be engraved in my head, because Millie was by herself after church. I was at her house by herself. It was the most honored day I had with Millie. It was amazing. We had fun. Millie even took a nap. She was so exhausted from being at church and everyone all around her. So we just hung out for that day. We had a wonderful day. We chit-chatted about everything. And as Millie does, she gave lots of messages. So she was giving me messages throughout the day. And as before I left, she said, I have one more thing for you. She said, I have the name Paul. So I thought, Paul. And in the back of my mind, I knew exactly what Paul was or who Paul was to me. But I didn't think that Millie knew that. So, but surprise, surprise. So she said, think about it. So I thought about it, and I wasn't going to tell Millie my secret at that time. So I said, well, I'll think about it, Millie. And as I was walking out the door, I got to the door, and she said to me, remember that Paul. Don't throw it away. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. So I went to the elevator, and I kind of just stood against the elevator. I was like, wow, Millie really knows. She knows this stuff. So then Tuesday comes around, and I'm in the phone conversation with Andrea, and we're going through the paperwork. And I said, you know what, Andrea, I just can't do this. I said, I've had something happen in my life that I can't face, and it's so difficult for me. And so she said, you know, if you talk about it, it'll be more real to you. I'm like, no, I just can't do that. I said, I don't want to do it. So about a half an hour later of her coaxing me, I told her that when I was 16, I had a child, and I gave him up for adoption. And it was very difficult to actually write those words and see those words. And he was a son. I had a son. And if I were able to name him, his name was going to be Paul. Okay. So Andrea and I were going around and around. Andrea said to me, say you have three children, because most of you know I have Brian and Brooke. And she said, well, say that you have three children. Make it real. I was like, it's not real. No matter what I do in my life, this is not going to be real for me. I could say it, and it's not real. And I was getting really pissed off at Andrea, actually. I was like, I'm not going to say this. And then she was insisting. She said, you really need to say it. You need to say that you have three children. You need to acknowledge it. So I said, okay, to shut her up, I'm just going to say it. So I was like, okay. I have three children. She said, how does that feel? I said, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel real to me. I said, it's just I've had this empty hole in my heart for all these years. I made all these imaginary stories of who this person was that I gave birth to, never saw and never knew anything about him. I imagined his whole life. How could I say that I have three children when I don't know this child? So after about 10 minutes, Andrea's like, okay, she was getting nowhere with me really fast. And she said, Annette, I'm going to tell you something. She said, if God wants you to know your child, you will know your child. And it's all in God's time. Like, well, I've already waited 34 years. How much longer do you want me to wait? She said, it's possible that you may not ever know your child or see your child, and that's God's will. And you just have to learn how to deal with it so that you can go on. So I said, okay, and I was done with that conversation. I didn't want to. I was like, thank you, I got to go. So I went. That was Tuesday. On Friday, I was with my daughter, and we were going to go see Angie Doran. She was performing in the monologues, and thank you to Angie, because that's how I came to the church, was Angie introduced me to the church. So thank you, Angie, and the angels, and God, and everyone. So I get a call from my brother in New York, and he said, hey, he said, I have this email. He said, so where are you? I said, I'm driving. He goes, wait till you stop and then call me. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened to my mother? Well, it wasn't my mother, and he read me an email from my son that wrote to him and told him that your sister Annette is my biological mother when I was born, and I would like to get in touch with her. And that was on Friday. I just couldn't believe it. I was out of control. Every emotion that you could ever imagine is what I had in my life at that moment. I was like, oh my God. And he said, and then my brother said to me, which was, I thought, really interesting. He said, didn't you ever think that this day would come, that someone would tell you that they're your son? I said, no, I honestly did not. I had given up. I had tried so many times. Tim had tried so many times. He had me on registries. I went back to the attorney. I went to the hospital. I did everything. I got dead ends, dead ends, dead ends. And now I had this major blessing of my life. So Brooke and I went home, and we looked on Facebook. And I found my son on Facebook. I looked at all his pictures. I saw exactly, he looked exactly like his biological dad. So that next morning, I called him. And we were on the phone the first time for 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And we have a great relationship since then. I've seen him multiple times. He's seen my family. He knows my family. He's gone to New York to visit my family. His family lives like 40 minutes away from my family. His family goes to the same church that my sister's boyfriend goes to. My neighbors worked with his. I mean, so all these amazing other connections with that story. And I just can't believe it. And so once again, I'm like, thank you, God and the angels. How does that happen? How could I be so blessed to have this amazing occurrence in my life? I know that not everyone's adoption and story turns out that way, but thank you, God and the angels, for giving me this. And I can't believe it. And this all developed as I was in class, and I shared it with Millie and the class, and it was like the most amazing event, one of the most amazing events that I had in my life. And my kids were great with him. Everyone was great. It was all the timing. And so I hunted down Andrea that Saturday. I had to tell her because I was so angry at her from Tuesday. I was like, I have to tell her. So I called her. She didn't answer. I called Michael. He didn't answer. Then I sent them a message. And then I called back and she finally answered. I said, Andrea, you are not going to believe this. I said, our call on Tuesday, I said, and now my son is in my life. It's Saturday. I mean, that was from Tuesday. Sunday, Millie's telling me about Paul. Tuesday, Andrea's telling me if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And Friday, it's here. Saturday, I'm talking to him. It's like, I can't make this up. You know, this is like so amazing. All the different connections and how God had to work to put everyone in that story to make it finally happen for me. So with that, that's my other amazing God story. Thank you all for listening and letting me share. And I just encourage everyone to share because we all have God stories. I have a ton of them. I have books of them. I have some really just small ones that are so incredible, but they are so incredible. And what it's taught me over these years, it's almost about 10 years since I've been in class, is that we have to be aware and open ourselves up and really look at everything and be grateful for every little thing, because we never know. You never know. So thank you. Okay. Thank you. Good stuff, huh?
Is that wonderful? You know all the things that really, really, really matter in your life? We can thank God for. That really, really matters to her. And it matters to each one of us when we can really take a look at the story and see how it unfolded. And how God wanted her to get connected with that son.